You know, in the great testing of Job, all of the great trauma and difficulties of major issue did not and would not occur, because you remember in Job 1 and verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed, hated evil. He was a perfect man. By that I mean he was single-hearted before God, and we studied that. The reason that anything occurred is because, verse 10, thou hast made, the devil speaking to God, thou hast made an hedge about him, that's Job, and about his house, that's Job's house, and about all that he hath on every side, that's about everything about Job, God has put a hedge. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. The reason nothing ever occurs is because God had put a hedge about everything concerning Job. And by the way, everything in your life and mine, immediate, that's real close, and great distance, that concerns God about you. So we aren't talking about Job here. We're talking about everything that involves Job, including his friends and enemies. In the light of that, keep that in mind, God has a hedge. A hedge. And the devil cannot invade that hedge. The devil's absolutely the devil. The demons are the demons. But they cannot violate the hedge that God has put. When God puts a hedge, no one violates it. No one ever anywhere. Now, I would like to take a look at this business of a hedge, at least in a little way, if we can. The word hedge, as it's found here, to intertwine, to interweave, to twist together, that which is woven together, usually thorns, thorn bushes. If you've ever seen a thorn hedge, all the thorn hedge are all intertwined. They're all intertwined together, all wrapped together. A thorn hedge, that which is interwoven, twisted together. It is used figuratively of a great multitude. It is used figurative language of something that's very complex, interwoven. The word parallels a wall, that which is enclosing, that which encloses a wall, to fence off, to put together as a fence. Now, in the light of that, would you go over with me in your Bible, in the light of that, and go with me, please, to Hosea chapter 2, the book of Hosea chapter 2. We're looking at this business of a hedge and how it works, at least a little bit anyway. In Hosea chapter 2, now remember, Israel is going in the wrong direction. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, Israel and the prophet Hosea is living. The prophet Isaiah is living. Hosea is living. Isaiah is living. They're contemporaries. Hosea is ahead of Isaiah. His message is to the nation of Israel. Israel is going in the wrong way. They're getting all tied up in that which is wrong, idols, etc. Thus, chapter 2 in the book of Hosea, if I may, go directly to verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way Now we just did hedge, to hedge up, to block, to protect, to put a hedge. Only this time, this hedge, in Job, it protects him. It protects him from the devil's wrong and allows God's blessing. This time, God is putting a hedge around Israel to keep them from going wronger, to getting worse off. And in verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall. You see, it's in parallel, to make a wall, to wall up. That which is walled up, fenced in. To make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. God is going to go and block the progress. Israel's trying to go in the wrong way, and God is going to put a hedge of thorns. God is going to put a wall, a hedge, a wall around them. So they can't go. As evil as they would like to be, God isn't going to let them get that evil that fast. They're going to get there, but God's going to give them time to get there. They're not going to say, we have no king but Caesar, not in the beginning. God keeps that from happening. There's no rejection of the Messiah way back here. God hedges them in so it can't happen. God blocks it. It isn't time for this deep in apostasy. Not yet. And God blocks the process of that deterioration. To hedge up, to block, to protect something from happening. Would you go with me, please, over in your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. The book of Isaiah and chapter 5. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, this is a great, great, simple, clear illustration that God gives to the people of Israel. Remember Hosea said it? Now Isaiah says it. Well, Isaiah is going to say it from a different window in a wonderful illustration for them. And if I may start, in verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. God has placed Israel in a wonderful land, a land of plenty. And God would bless the land of plenty and see that the vine, the grape, the vine, the fruit would be plentiful. Verse 2. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. And he made a winepress therein and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. It didn't come out. The people of Israel were given every advantage to be a wonderful people as a testimony of God, his witnesses. But you know, they didn't. They were wild grapes. They weren't the kind of grapes that God intended. They were of the wrong kind. They weren't connected to God. They were connected to the world and idolatry. Verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. I want you to judge between the owner of the vineyard and the author of it and the vineyard itself. Verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard? What would you suggest that I could have done to Israel and for them that I didn't do, that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked at that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? Verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, the thorn hedge. I protected Job. I protected Israel. Israel was to be a fruitful vine. They would never lose a battle if they trusted me. Like in the wilderness, their shoes never wore out. I would have blessed Israel mightily, but they went into idolatry. I will take away the hedge. Take away the hedge, verse 5. the hedge thereof. There's the word we're looking at, the hedge. And it shall and it shall be eaten up, all the produce, all the vine, the animals, etc., will come and consume it. And I will break down the wall. Do you notice each time as we're doing it, there's a hedge and a wall. A hedge and a wall, that which protects, that which fences in. A wall of stone, a hedge of thorns. Verse 5. And I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will allow the protection that I have for Israel to be removed. And like it says in Malachi, when you come to the book of Malachi, chapter 2, I will curse the blessings that I gave you. I blessed you. I will make the blessings that I gave you a curse. And he did. He did. He turned the blessing into cursing. Israel is out of whack with God. God will take away the hedge that protects them. Now, God will also put a hedge to keep them from going too far, too fast. But in the same breath, God will take away the hedge. And a lot of things are going to happen to Israel that never would have happened had they honored God in the way that they should. Thus, if you would, over in your Bible, well, before you go there, over in your Bible, go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 40. The book of Exodus, chapter 40. Now, let me give you a little bit, in case you want to be a student and do some homework. There are four Hebrew words. I have to do a little homework now. There are four Hebrew words that all relate to the same meaning. The original idea of the words is to surround with thorns, to make a wall, a fence, for the purpose of protecting, keeping out invaders, keeping something in, keeping it in, keeping something in, keeping something out. All four words. Three of the words are used in the Old Testament. One of the words, of the Hebrew words, is not used. You just need to know the four, because if you do some work in this, you're going to find it isn't quite so easy. It isn't easy, because you have to put it together. I'm going to put it a little bit together for you to get what's there. Would you now go with me? Remember, there's a hedge that protects Job, and Job is blessed, and the devil can't do a thing about God's blessing. The people of Israel go astray from God, and God takes away the hedge, and they lose the blessing. God puts a hedge so you can't go too bad, too fast. Isn't that good? It is. It is. This business of being hedged in, for blessing, keeping something out, keeping something in. Would you allow me to go, please, picking up our thought in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And thou shalt put therein the tabernacle, tent of the tabernacle. Thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. You are to put the ark of the testimony in the tent, and cover it, protect it with the veil. The veil covers, hides, hedges. Exodus 43, it covers, it hedges, protects. The ark is protected, hedged in, fenced in by the veil. Would you look at me in verse 21? And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering, there's your word, and covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, hid it, hedged it in, as the Lord commanded Moses. The ark is protected. Anyone can't go and get to the ark. The priest can only get to that ark on the Day of Atonement. You can't get in. No one gets in. It's veiled, hedged, protected to protect the people from God. To protect God, as it were, from the people. God hedges in the ark, hedges it in. It's his, you know. God protects that which is his. Would you go with me to Exodus chapter 25? Exodus chapter 25. By the way, it was when you came in, remember the snow when you came in? It stopped. It'll start again after we're finished and you get home. Right now, when I looked out, nothing. Same as when you came in. Just tire tracks are there that you came in. Follow the same ones up. Exodus chapter 25. Would you follow with me in verse 20? And the cherubim, now of course I may have not seen the snow. That's also the other possibility. That's the other possibility that I looked and I said, there's no snow, you see. That's the wonder of this whole thing. I can make everything go away. Or I can make it double. Where there's one snowflake, I see three. You see. Exodus chapter 25. See with your heart, my friend. See with your heart. See with your mind. That's where you want to see. Oh, yes. Oh, the eyeballs are as blind. We look and look and see nothing. Oh, God, open the eyes, Ephesians 1:18, of my understanding. Yeah. My mind. Exodus 25. May I go to verse 20? And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, and they're going to walk to the mercy seat. They're going to cover it, hide it, hedge it in. They're going to hedge the mercy seat. They're over it. The winged cherubim are bending over it. The winged cherubim are on the curtains, bending over in the curtain. And behind the curtain on the mercy seat are the two winged cherubims. They're winged. Their whole purpose is to protect, to fence it in, to be a bush, a wall around it. To protect it, the winged cherubim, the mercy seat. And you would find it again elsewhere. I would remind you as you're looking at this, go with me while you're here. We will not lose anything in doing it. Go over with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. And chapter 28, just to remind you, remember the cherubim that cover the mercy seat. With that in mind, where's that all coming from, that mercy seat? Comes from way into eternity past, before the world ever was. And in before the world ever was, before there was ever a planet Earth. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. Speaking of the Lucifer, thou art the anointed cherub that what, dear friends, covers. Remember the two cherubs that cover each side of the mercy seat. The devil, before he was the devil, was the covering cherub. Did God need to be hedged in? No. The seraphim hover around the throne. The cherubim, the anointed one, hovers over the throne, symbolic of God's holiness, protecting it. Oh, but it's really God protecting. But they have the status of standing there and protecting. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Would you skip down with me to pick it up again in verse 16? The devil sinned, remember? Lucifer sinned, son of the morning. And thus, verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane, common, out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Your position is lost. You're fired. You lost your job. You lost your position. You lost everything because of your pride, because of your sin, because you thought in and of yourself you were enough. You were beautiful and wonderful. Beautiful and wonderful you were, but only because of God. And Lucifer lost that. The cherub over the mercy seat, my friend, come way back from out from forever, where God has cherubim and seraphim and all the rest of it doing their great work, demonstrating a great God, holy God. Thus, if you would, over in the book of Job, chapter 3. Remember, Job is hedged in, and God allows the hedge to be broken down and broken through. It is restricted on how much it can be broken through. You can't kill Job. The devil would have liked to kill Job, but he couldn't kill Job. He could really do a number on Job, but you can't kill him. You could make him sweat tears of great pain, tears and sweat, but you cannot kill him. I allow you to torture him, but you cannot kill him. What's that tell me? Well, that tells me that God is very much involved in what he does. They had no temptation test taken, but such as is common to man, and God is what? Faithful. God is. No, I need to make bay, like in 6 o'clock. I need to make sure I hang on to God. I don't want to get tied up in my intellect and try to reason it out. No, I'm going to look to God. I'm going to look to him. Job chapter 3. Listen to Job. I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts to catch it. Job in this great, remember, God has let the hedge down, as it were, the devil to come in within a limited way, always a limited way. Chapter 3 in Job. May I go directly, if I can, in verse 1, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Skipping down, if I may. Verse 20. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, for which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. They're looking for an out, and there is no out. Do you know, just as a sidelight, a PS, do you know during the tribulation, God is going to let the demons of this world, those terrible demons, come as scorpions. And do you know he's going to let the demons loose? He's going to allow them to be loose. And they will torment and torture the people of the world. Week after week, month after month, torture them in great pain. In great pain. And they're going to wish to die. And they can't. They can't die. I want to die, but God won't let you die. And the devil doesn't want you to die. He wants to torment. My dear friend, it's a great thing to have a sense of God in the light of the past, in the light of the future. In, if I may, verse 22, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Oh, to die, to get relief. And you've probably been with some people that wish that. I have. You probably have. I understand it, too. I understand what they were saying. I do. If I could just die. But you got to wait. Now, verse 23. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid? And whom God hath what? Hedged in.
I thought God opened the hedge. He did.
But God reestablished the hedge and said, you can't kill him. Always a hedge. Always a protection. Always a limitation of how much, how far, how long. Always a hedge, but a reestablishing of the hedge. Always. Would you go with me in the light of that over to Job chapter 38, the book of Job chapter 38. Would you take note, Job chapter 38, and may I go to pick up our thought, let me go in verse 6. Remember, this whole pile of questions God gives Job to humble him, keep him straight, sober. Whereupon are the foundations? Let me go to verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? I declare, if thou hast understanding, where were you, Job, when I created the universe? Nowhere, Job said. Nowhere. Good. Verse 5, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Who put it all in order? No, God, Job said, I don't. God, you did. I didn't. Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Who hung the world, the circle of the world, in the middle of space? Isaiah. Job, were you there? No. Verse 6, 7. When the morning stars, the angels sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, when God created all these things. Verse 8. Or who, Job, shut up the sea? Do you see the word to shut up the sea? To hedge in, to fence in the sea. To shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb. And out it comes, the great waters. The world was completely covered, and God changed all the waters. And the waters rushed. God hemmed in the water, shut the door. So the waters only went so far. And you know yourself better than I that 70%, 7 out of 10 pieces of the world are water. Water. And God hemmed it in. God stopped it. God put a wall. The sand of the seashore. Crummy little sand. Remember we studied it in Jeremiah, etc. The sand of the seashore halts the great oceans of the world. And the oceans of the world cannot pass the sandy beach. I have said it so. Hedged it, stopped it, fenced it. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Would you go with me now in the light of that? Would you go with me, please, over in your Bible to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Let me now try to bring it home a little more so. Leviticus, chapter 23. Now remember, there are several feasts the Israelites were to observe. And one of those feasts that comes up in September and October, October 15 to 21, 7 days, is the Feast of Ingathering, called the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the planting and the harvesting and the replanting. Now what's the, of many things about it, let me just give you one. Leviticus chapter 23, may I go, directly to verse 43. The purpose of this Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles, the purpose of it. Would you please note verse 43, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. Do you see the word booths? Tent, shelter, covering. It all comes in this word, to hedge in, to fence in. And out of
cover, out of surrounding and hedging and walling up is a covering, a protecting.
And we have our word booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. I want them on the Feast of Tabernacles to gather together and make booths, etc., to remember as they went. Remember, they went from Ramesses to Sukkoth. Sukkoth, booths. And from Sukkoth, they went to the land of the wilderness. And the last time they were in booths was back then. Once they crossed that Red Sea, the booths were gone. I want you to have the Feast of Tabernacles in gathering to remember of the booths. To remember that from the booths, you went from your booths, from your tent, from your shelter, from your protection. Did you go unprotected? Oh no, I brought you into the wilderness to Mount Sinai. And in Mount Sinai, you were to discover a great God. A great God. You went from booths that covered you to a God that covered you. You went from booths that made a wall around you to the God who made a wall around you, who hedged you in. And your whole journey from Egypt, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, into the land, is to be one of marvelous thanksgiving. Would you go with me, please, in your Bible, over to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy in chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16, if I may. May I start in verse 13. Thou shalt observe the feast of... Do you see the word tabernacles? That's our word that comes from the word to hedge, to wall up, to hedge, to protect. Booths, tabernacles. Tabernacles means booths, tents, shelters, a brush, leaves, branches. It's so boughs of a tree, it's translated. Would you notice, please, in verse chapter 16, verse 13, Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, the Feast of Booths, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Verse 14, and thou shalt what? In thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, and that are within thy gates, everyone rejoice. Do you know they were to remember the Feast of Tabernacles because God brought them across the Red Sea into the wilderness, and it was a time God would hedge them in and protect them. It was a time of great rejoicing. But do you know, and we've studied it, do you know they didn't rejoice? The key word of the wilderness isn't rejoicing. It's murmuring, isn't it? And they murmured, and they murmured, and they murmured, and they murmured, and they murmured. It should have been rejoicing, but they murmured. Did God still keep a hedge? Oh, absolutely. But oh my, they paid a price. Instead of looking to God thankfully and rejoicing in that experience, in God's hedging them in, protecting them, keeping them, they were to rejoice marvelously, but they didn't do it. God would surround them with his presence, but they didn't do it. In the future, without taking time, in the future, my dear friends, they're going to have the Feast of Tabernacles. And they will rejoice in that day. We will do the feast again, said God. Only this time we'll observe it properly with rejoicing. Rejoicing. No murmuring, rejoicing. Now, in the light of that, would you go with me, please, to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. in the light of the purpose of tabernacle, in the light of the purpose of the booths, in the light of the covering and protection that God would give to the people of Israel, going from the booth across the Red Sea to the wilderness and to where God would keep them, would be a wall unto them. Psalm 5, let me just run it by you. May God just bang it home to your head and heart and to mine. Psalm 5, verse 11, listen. But let all those that put their trust in thee, what, dear friend? Rejoice. Now hang on to the rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because thou defendest them. The word defend is the word to hedge them in, to wall them in. Why are we to rejoice? Because God defends us. He hedges us in. Oh, Israel, you missed it. You missed it. You missed the whole purpose of the feast, to get you to see God's great keeping and caring. You missed it. Would you notice the end of verse 11? Let them also love thy name. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. O God, thou defendest them. God hedges them in. God protects them. God does it. Verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield to surround them, to keep them. A wonderful thing that God does. Psalm 27. So we're going to see it reflected in the believing heart. As we turn the pages of history, we're going to see believing hearts caught the message. Psalm 27. Would you go with me, please? Psalm 27. And let me pick up the thought if I can. Psalm 27 and verse 5. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What's that? That I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Just to know and understand, God, how great thou art. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Do you see the word pavilion? He shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall hide me in the middle of his hedge, his wall. God will put that thorn hedge, that stone wall around me, and I will be hidden. The enemy can't get in, and I don't want to get out. Hedged in. In the time of trouble, God will hide me in his hedge, in his wall. Would you go with me, please, to Psalm 31? Psalm 31. And let me do it again. Psalm 31, if I may. Oh, going to verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them which fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. For thou, from the pride of men, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion. There's your word again. From the strife of tongues, you will hide them in that hedge, that wall, that place of safety, in that covering. You will hide them. God will do that. Job, I'm going to let it happen. Only so much. It'll be awful, but it'll be awful wonderful when I'm done. Hang in there, Job. Hang in there. And Job does. He doesn't understand, but he hangs in there. He has a great debate with God, but he doesn't quit God. Would you go with me, please, to Psalm 91? Psalm 91. Would you please note in the beginning of verse 4? Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover thee. God will cover thee. There's your word. Cause thee to be covered. Cause thee to be hedged in. Cause thee to be protected. He will cover thee. He will cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. God will cover thee. God will cover thee. God will do it. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Just as we turn, what a believer's doing. Believers are thanking God and looking to God and expecting God to be the protecting covering, to hedge them in, to keep them. They're expecting it. Psalm 140. And if I may go to verse 7. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered. Thou hast covered my head. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. God, I would have got it in the head, but I put on, as you know, the helmet of salvation. And God, my head was protected. God, put a hedge around my head in the day of battle. Oh, God, do it. Do it. Now, with all that said and done, you know, God can get, if you would, very angry with people. So go with me, please, over to Lamentations and chapter 3. Lamentations and chapter 3. In Lamentations chapter 3, picking up the thought, remember Jerusalem? The weeping prophet Jeremiah looking at Jerusalem as it was, as it is, as it happened, ruined. Lamentations chapter 3, looking at their own heart, he said, we have, verse 42, chapter 3, we have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered, there's the word, hedged us with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied, thou hast covered, there's your word again, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. God, we aren't getting any message, and the reason we're hedged in with your anger. We don't want to be hedged in with your anger. And like we did on Wednesday, oh God, we're looking for your countenance. We're looking at your face. Your face makes the difference, God. Your face makes my face work. How you see it, I want to see it. I don't want your anger, God. I confess my sin. I want to honor you. I want to see it from your pleasant smile. I want to see it from your great working. That's how I want to see it. I want to understand it like that. O Israel, O Jerusalem, ruins, ruins. God, you hedge in the city with your anger. And all of our prayers are of no effect. Even if we pray, you tell us not to pray, because nothing will stop what you're going to let happen. But you know nothing is going to stop what God let happen to Job, except God has a hedge, on top of a hedge, on top of a hedge, and it only goes so far, only so far. Would you please go with me over to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Now we've bounced around looking at this great business of God, hedging in, keeping. I want to understand God. I want to understand how he works. So when I look to God, I'm looking to a God to protect me, to hedge me in. But I understand being hedged in doesn't mean being immune from things. No, not at all. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Would you please note in 2 Samuel chapter 22, David's great song of deliverance. That's what it's about. It isn't a sad song. It's a marvelous song. A great God. I'm going to pick up because I just keep reading. It's such a marvelous message. Verse 10. He, God, bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Do you see in verse 12, he made darkness pavilions. God used and hedged himself in so you couldn't see him. He was on the other side of the hedge, the other side of the wall. What was the hedge and the wall? It was darkness.
Jeremiah said, we can't get through to God, can't see him. God's on the other side of the hedge. God knows all about it. David said, oh God, you come in darkness. Darkness, you use not thorn bushes and not walls of stone. You use darkness to hedge me in. Wonderful, wonderful. Hard, but wonderful, wonderful thing. To hedge me in like that, you know. Would you go with me, please? Back over to Job chapter 19. Now I'm bouncing along here. I trust you got a little. We're almost. Job chapter 19. May I pick up the message? You'll see it. May I start in verse 6. Know now that God hath overthrown me, and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out wrong, but I am not heard. My prayers, I can't get through the darkness. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. Verse 8, he hath fenced up. There's your word, your verb. He hath hedged me in, surrounded me. He hath hedged up my way that I cannot pass. Remember, God kept the Israelites from going into idolatry. God kept the devil from getting too much of Israel. He hath fenced up my way, has hedged me in that I cannot pass. He has set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He has taken away everything. Here I am with nothing. Nothing. Job, he hath walled me up. He hath fenced me in. I am totally enclosed, and God has let it all go away. But all of it is done in the light of God's caring, in the light of God's removing the hedge for the devil to do what he does. But only the devil can do so much, because God said, you can't do any more than that. I put a restriction, a wall. You can't do any more than that to my servant Job. Would you now go with me to Exodus chapter 32? Exodus chapter 32. Do you know, Job lost seemingly the glory and grandeur of his herds, his flock, his family, his health, his wealth. He had nothing. He was one sad-looking fellow to look at. When you come to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, Moses, remember my presence, God's presence must go with us, said Moses. And in the light of that, verse 18, and I said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, in the light of that, if I may, picking up in verse 22, and it shall come to pass, remember, God is going to help him. He can't see God. No man seeth God and lives, verse 22, shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee. There's your word. I will cover you like a booth. The booths are covered, the Feast of Tabernacles. The hedge, the wall. I will cover you. I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. You want to see my glory? I'll protect you, Moses. I'll cover you with my hand so you can stand it, so you can see it. And the glory passed by, my dear friend, and Moses hid his face as it were. Thou shalt see my back parts, my hind, my afterglow. You won't see me, but when it's all over, you'll see what would have been, what passed by you. God covers Moses with his hand, so he's safe. Go with me now in closing, over if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14.
The Gospel of John at chapter 14. Would you notice, please? And I trust that God will bless your heart. You have to get there. I wish I could get all of there, especially young people, to get there. They aren't there. Do you know, just a little sidelight, do you know that's why the great truths of God are always true, aren't they? Are they? But it takes years and years and years and sometime never before people wake up to see what they could have had years ago. Some people never wake up. They never wake up. They never see it. After years and years and years, do you know you have to get in the place that you want to see it, that you need it? And until you get there, my friend, it's just a whole lot of words that you don't understand. It isn't yours yet. Not until you get there.
You say, I heard it.
No, you have to have a heart ready for it, my friend. And if you aren't ready for it, I could say it for the next 7 months, and you will not still get it. After 7 months banging away, you will not get it then. You have to be ready for it. Some of you may be ready for this. Some of you may not. But it won't be that you didn't hear it. It was there. It was there for you if you wanted it. Do you know what it will be said in that day? God said, I gave it to you. What did you do with it? You say, I never heard it. You ever heard people say that? I have people say that to me. Boy, I never heard that before. They've been here 20 years. Never heard it. No, you are ready to hear it. That's the difference. That's what to say. You're ready to hear it. You weren't ready until now. Thus, John 14. I'll read the wonderful truth again. Oh, may it get somewhere. The Lord Jesus said it of his Father in verse 20. In that day, at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, God the Son, in God the Father, Christ Jesus, being the home and dwelling place for God. And you, believing hearts, are in me, and I am in you. My dear friend, the God who puts the hedge and the booths, and the God who covered Moses to protect him from his glory, that God is my personal Savior and lives in my personal heart. I'm not wondering about a hedge, my friend. I am the dwelling place and home, and so are you if you're saved, of the God who makes the hedge. Oh, my. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loved me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come, the Father and I, we will come unto him, the believing heart, and make our abode, our abiding place with him. Until John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places, and I will be with you until you are with me. That's the arrangement. That you might know, Job was worried about his glory being taken. No. God has given us the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And as I look in the face of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God is mine. And my dear friend, that is mine today, tomorrow, and the next day. No matter what, no matter when, no matter where, no matter how, that's mine. That's mine. And you remember, or some of you might remember, there was a song. You'll probably yell at me. There was a song. I just remember the part of it bumping, jumping out of the air. There's a song, Don't Fence Me In. Some of you probably don't remember that, do you? Don't Fence Me In. Forget it. Get that. Listen. I want to be fenced in.
I want to be hedged in. I am so thankful that the God who makes all the hedges is my personal Savior. Do this in remembrance of me. You got it. I got it. Thank you for Job. Thank you for Moses. Thank you for my Savior. Thank you. So, perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer in closing. And our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our hearts and our heads. Thank you very much. Help us. We look to you. God, take care of the weather. Thank you very much. Safety in the road. Thank you very much. Thank you for being able to gather together on this thy day. Oh God, make us the beneficiaries of these moments, that we would understand. We would understand, our God, who you are. My God, they cannot get you without getting me. And they cannot get me without getting you. My Father, thank you. In Christ's name, God, help us. And for those who know thee not as Lord and Savior, God, do a wonderful work in their heart. I don't know how. I don't know just the mechanics. I don't know it. But I know, God, you do. You know whether it's worth the energy and effort of heaven to do that on a heart. God, help us. In Christ's name, amen.